inner hall of life.
Welcome to the Inner Hall Uprising,
a podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black non-monogamous feminist hoe living in New York City, and
me, Rodeca, one flat.
One flat.
She got no ass.
Lie though.
She's looking like a board out there.
One fat. That's true.
like Plank from
Black.
Oh my god.
Never mind. Black pansexual, whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow landed her here.
Hey. And Akua. One tired ass therapist asshole.
Yay, you just got her car back.
Yay.
So on this show, we have two types of episodes. They are group eps and interview eps. On interview episodes, I, Sam, the principal host of this here show, and one of my rotating co-hosts, talk to folks with interesting perspectives on sex, love, dating, gender, or race, and on group episodes, all of the hosts come together like this one and chat about sexual current events in the world, our lives, and yours. This episode is a group episode, and we have wrapped up polygamy.
Yeah.
Wow. Yay.
We did a series and it was really good and well received.
Yes, it was. A lot of good feedback, guys.
That was very lit. But before we get into the meat of this episode, we have a couple of short segments that we normally do, and they are as follows.
Bae of the Week.
Which is where we talk about people who we find attractive.
Ho of the Week.
Where we shout out you guys, the homies, the listeners, and the fans.
Self-care tip of the week.
Where we give you guys some advice on how to take care of y'all selves.
And pay a ho.
Where we beg for the money that we desperately, desperately need.
And if you guys would like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag InnerHoUprising so we can see it, and the hashtag Podin so other people can see it.
And if you want to pay us to speak at your school or conference about sex positivity, black feminism, or other kinds of topics that we discuss on this here show, we would love to do so. So please, to book us, send us a line to iChewPodcast@gmail.com.
The first segment is Bae of the Week.
Mm-hmm. Y'all got some bays?
My bae was at Popaganda on Instagram. And I want to say her, but I will use the pronoun there because I'm not too sure. But I was on Instagram being a procrastinating asshole.
Yeah, it's my favorite kind of thing.
In my Explore page. And this person pops up. It was on the channel R29 Unbothered. That's Refinery29. And they were talking about their style and the way to stress for their shape.
Oh, or what, I saw that too.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are sexy.
I was watching it and I was, of course, in normal Akua fashion, I was aroused because I'm just always slightly aroused. And I was thinking about it, I was like, I'm just attracted to anyone masculine presenting.
Yeah.
Like, it was the shoulders, it was the arms. Yeah. I was like,
no, but I see it though. I'm with you on that one.
Sometimes when I see people like that, when my future wife, oh, I can't remember her name. Wow, that sucks.
Damn.
The person on Twitter, Swole.
K-Swole.
Yeah. Oh, you guys know my future wife, and I don't. But when I see her, I'm like, I would have sex with you, and I also kind of want to be you, and that's how masculine-presenting individuals kind of make me feel sometimes.
Yes.
Like, I admire their masculinity, and I also want to put my face on it and want it on, want to sit on it.
So yeah, they are my bae of the week because I got to this revelation because of them, and they're still fine as well.
Yay, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Rodeca over here getting wet,
you know.
For me. And it's not raining, if you know what I mean. How about you?
Yeah, so my other bae of the week is Ashley Chubby Bunny.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who I love. And it's just like, especially as a fat girl, like, I'm just watching all this love and I'm like, yo, you know, I need to stop playing. Like, I need to go out here with like my belly out and do all this type of stuff and feel it, you know, because I'm looking at them like, these women are extremely attractive.
No, when I say their Instagram gives me so much confidence, I'm like, they are out there slaying.
Yeah.
For real.
What is my problem?
And it's just it's just like a collage of just like beautiful women. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, I guess, for me, sometimes I have trouble seeing myself as like sexy, but I have no issue seeing them sexy and whatever.
None at all.
But I don't know. And then, like, today, her Instagram story was me in real life. She's like, last night I got too high and I couldn't stand up because my paranoia was, like, keeping me.
Like that,
and
though.
She was like, yeah, I haven't smoked in a while. I was like, yeah, the other day I haven't smoked in a while. Mm-hmm. So the other day I tried doing it and it was just like, oh, no, this is why you don't. You either keep going forever or yeah. you quit forever.
Yeah.
Because it's just like, nah.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's why I'm scared to partake ever again.
If you do a little, you'll be all right. I'm the worst. I'm an enabler.
No, not Samantha.
Damn, Sam.
Not Samantha.
Damn, you have seen me at my worst.
I've seen it. I didn't know how to comfort. I didn't know how to fix it. I was like, I don't know.
No one ever knows.
We don't know what to do.
No one ever knows. There's nothing you can do. My bae of the week is a cisgender heterosexual white man.
Oh, wow.
I don't know if he's heterosexual. I also don't know if he's cisgender, but he is a white man. He's very attractive and cool. Go.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
What? Oh.
Derek Chadwick. Such a white man.
Derek Chadwick. He's yeah. an attractive man.
He's really hot. And that's
kind of crazy.
I don't is he?
He's like, no, I mean, like, oh, it's kind of crazy how
yeah, he
attractive
looks like a fake kind of thing.
He's just bronze.
No, he is. Who is the real barometer? Oh, thank God. Okay.
No, he is. Fine ass white man.
Fuck if I think he's attractive.
I also said thank God when oh, I told you.
Yes.
Nigga, you always try to play me. That's crazy. Anyway, if you're on Twitter right now, go to @ Derek A. Chadwick and see the beauty. He's just good looking. And now he has blonde hair, and I also have blonde hair.
Oh.
We are starting a new Aryan race of genders.
I looked up so quick.
This bitch is a Nazi? No, I'm not a Nazi. Wow, all the new people listening are like, this is not a very feminist show.
Not at all. We'll get
going
there
one day. Please don't go.
I actually don't like him with the blonde hair. He looks like a Justin Bieber, but...
Oh, no. Now I can't get that
does
out
Justin
of my head.
Does Justin Bieber have blonde hair?
He does.
He did. Sometimes I'm like, what does Justin Bieber look like and why?
It's a good memory not to have. Like, just, you don't need it.
That this, ambiguity.
You never need that's good. A Justin Bieber image in your head.
No, but he has everything facially or even
yeah.
and physically yeah, too, that yeah. I find very attractive. Yeah. Like, it's very, this is very Akua's type. White man. Like,
yes.
This is very Akua type black man.
Yeah, exactly.
Just, this one has
exactly.
white skin.
Yeah. Yeah. So shout out to Derek A. Chadwick.
You're hot.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me sit on that face, daddy. Who are our hoes of the week?
Mm-hmm. Every time I go out the dock, I'm like, I don't know.
So I want to give a very special shout out to Calvin Pierce Jr. That's his whole name.
Wow.
That's all everyone. That's how I know him by.
Yeah, Calvin just seems weird, but Calvin Pierce Jr., that's
now I get it.
Yeah, I want to give a special shout out to him who put us on to, he's like a very large part of the Black and Poly community, so he knows a lot of Black and Poly people. He put us on to Evita, right? When we were looking
yes,
for a
yes,
unicorn.
Yes.
And then Evita, in turn, put us on to Rosalind. So Calvin was really the genesis of half of that series.
Yeah, I was like, he produced half that
yeah,
series.
So,
that's what he did.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Calvin. And then also, shout out to our nigga Rob, who's in Kuwait right now.
Yeah, man.
Rob paid me $50 in Cash App that I have to then transfer to our PayPal, but I don't have Cash App on my phone right now.
That really just warmed my heart. Like, I really was just like, damn.
So yeah. beautiful.
When was the last time I paid us? Like,
yeah.
Thank you, Rob.
Rob is a real nigga.
We out here struggling.
And then also shout out to El Sadiq, who @ El Sadiq on Instagram, who follows all of us, I believe, and also listens to the show, but helped Rob out during a very special time because Rob was trying to figure out how to do specific like Islamic practices during
mm-hmm.
their grandpa's funeral,
mm-hmm.
And El Sadiq helped out with that. So,
oh,
that's great.
Thank you, El Sadiq.
Shout out to El Sadiq.
We really appreciate yeah. you stepping in like that.
Yeah. Whom else?
Karen for our healing from sexual trauma episode mm-hmm. because Karen is graduating as well.
Karen
shout out to my
graduating.
Academic class. Oh.
Yeah, very proud and producing a good podcast too.
Yes, hey. It's graduation season, so I will just be shouting out all academic
hey.
Codes.
Yes.
And then we have Danielle, aka Lawyer Bay, because she slid in my DMs. It's like, here's my graduation pictures because you asked for them. I was like,
Yay.
Yes, you better get that Juris
Doctor
degree.
Yeah.
You better become that lawyer. You're gonna
yes.
pass the bar. You got
yes.
this. And then Lily from yeah. our Asexual Kinky episode,
Jesus.
Her book is out. It's called Gender Ambiguity in the Workplace. Go cop that on
yes.
Amazon. Support,
yes.
learn.
Shout out to Lily.
Yes, Lily, congratulations.
So good, so good. Love all these people.
And then those that paid a hoe.
Yes.
Rosalyn.
Yeah.
Hey,
Rosalyn was on the show. Yay.
And then paid
a hoe.
Yay.
That's
so I can do it.
Yeah.
We have Amber Lynn R. and Jasmine K.
Yay. Also, shout out to Jasmine, who was like $2 a month. And then she was like, or they were like, $5 a fucking month.
Hey. I saw that. I was like, yes, Jasmine.
Shout out to Jasmine.
Like, no, fuck that. I'm going
appreciate
back.
That.
I'm fixing that. Probably heard another episode. Was like, no, they deserve $5.
They need it.
I will sacrifice.
For real. Thank you, Jasmine.
I appreciate it.
Everyone's awesome. I'm so happy. What are our self-care tips of the week?
Y'all want mine?
Let's do it.
Yours is very good.
Because it's literally been my whole life for like the past 3 weeks.
Same.
And it is, don't let capitalism turn you into a machine.
I hate slavery.
Yes. That gift has really been my life.
It's the only thing that keeps me going through
it. It is. Especially when you work in predominantly white spaces and you're just like, So this is
what we're doing for the rest of my life?
I'm not looking forward to that. I mean, I'm not working.
Hopefully, you don't have to.
Yes.
Yeah.
It almost feels like the rite of passage at this point, but like I don't want that to be the case.
I did not need that.
Yeah,
that rite of passage.
Struggle does not have passage. To be a rite of passage.
I already knew it was never going to change from rite of passage.
Did you go to a PWI?
I thought you were going to ask me if I went to Princeton. I'm about to say, bitch, what? What are you talking about?
Didn't you go to Princeton? Isn't that why you're on the show? I thought you were smart. Wait, did you go to a PWI?
What, a predominantly white institution?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Jersey? No, there was a lot. We were all black.
Damn.
Yeah. Yes.
You've been blessed.
Yeah.
I felt like my introduction to being around too many white people and racist non-black people was high school, though. And ever since then, I've been like, nah, I don't need that anymore.
I felt like in high school, I surrounded myself with enough black people and ignored everyone else.
Yeah, like we were all friends. So, but like in like Arista and stuff like that, I was like, this is too much. Yeah, and then classes, like as you move up to AP classes and stuff like that, it was.
Oh, you were in the smart shit.
This bitch wanted to be academically challenged.
What the fuck are you talking about? It was only the black people.
I was
people
always with my black people.
It was you guys, and then it was home.
Ever since I was 15, I was over this shit, so. I definitely don't.
My introduction was at in my master's program. I remember like my first day or two in St. John's. I was looking around, I was like, this is white as fuck. Like I felt a way that I couldn't describe. I was like, what the fuck is this? Yeah. But what was I talking about? Capitalism?
What are we always talking about?
Well, that started with Queer Rock, their episode when they did South by Southwest, and they had Queen with T&J on, and that's where I got the language for it, because I've never worked like a real job that I didn't just actually quit. Academia has been my life. Yeah. So when I heard when they were talking about capitalism, just you know, turning into a machine, I was like, oh, this sounds relevant, you know? But it became more relevant and relevant and something. There's a word I'm saying.
Prevalent?
Yes, there we go. As I've started working full time, and I realized that like I'm the first one in my office at like 8:15. I'm opening up, you know, at 8:15.
I think you had an IG store and you were like, every morning.
Literally every morning.
And I sent a cool saying, I hate slavery.
Because I'm there before my clinical director. I'm there on set. I'm working 6 days a week. Like, it's ridiculous. And today I was like, because today I gave myself a strict deadline. I was like, I'm out by one because we're off on Monday. I'm going to enjoy this 3-day flipping weekend. Yes. Like, fuck this. Yes. And then I wasn't out by 1 o'clock and I was like, oh, so.
Turn that ass to a machine.
I had to step back. I was like, I can't do this. I'm here trying to get everything done and have a clean slate for the next week, but it keeps piling on. I have to just do what I can in the time that I am paid to be here leave that shit the fuck at home, at the door when I leave at
Don't
4
take your
because
work home.
I can't drive. Like, I'm at home making lists of what I need to do the next day. Like, and if I, when I work really, really hard, I get really stressed and I end up in the hospital. And that's why I've avoided working because I am allergic to working. I am a princess. So like I'm not trying to get there because I just got health coverage, but ain't nobody trying to be in the hospital. If I were to drop dead or end up in the hospital because of the stress, they would fail my position. Like, it's not here for me.
Exactly.
So why am I out here busting my trying to die for people that they would literally
don't actually care about you,
the ink on my obituary won't be dry before they're trying to fill that spot. So no, I gotta let it go. So if you're in that boat, if that's how you're feeling, don't let capitalism turn you into a machine.
How about like, but damn, if I don't, I'm going to lose my job.
Well, no.
Or I'm not going to progress within the company.
If you're doing what you're supposed to do during the time that you are there, what more do they want from you?
Everything.
Like, you are literally, you're not, I'm not saying fall back on your duties, do your responsibilities, mm-hmm. but you can't carry that stress home with you, mm-hmm. or try to self-care. Mm-hmm. You know,
it also depends on the
can't,
job.
They can't, I feel like, fire sometimes you if you're doing what you're supposed to do. You may not progress.
Yeah, that's,
but do you
yeah.
want that stress that comes with the progression?
Shall we move on to Payo?
Yes.
Great. If you guys would like to help sustain the Inner Hall Uprising podcast monetarily, you can do so. You can do so by going to innerhalluprising.com and clicking the tab Pay a Ho Once or Pay a Ho Monthly. If you click the tab Pay a Ho Once, it'll take you to paypal.me/innerho, which is our PayPal. If you click the tab Pay a Ho Monthly, it will take you to our Patreon. And I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a second. But while you're on innerhalluprising.com, you can also click the merchandise tab to click some of our vintage merchandise, which will be going offline quite soon, so get it while you can. You can also use the sponsor codes using not this, but previous and future episodes, because when you support our sponsors, you support us. So in terms of that Patreon, you can now support a hoe on a monthly basis by subscribing to us on Patreon and receive perks while you're doing it. This is an easy way to throw some dollars monthly towards the show, because studios, transportation, and events are not cheap, and as you can see, every episode is not sponsored. If you're able and you'd be so kind to visit our Patreon, go to patreon.com/innerhalluprising and donate $2, which will give you early and discounted access to IHU gatherings like the barbecue that we are having in July. Woo! As well as our undying love and affection. And for the price of $5 a month, you can get all that, as well as access to some exclusive behind the scenes video content like the one that we're shooting right now. Shout out to our patrons. Yeah. So you can donate less or more, so anything from $1 a month to $1 zillion a month, anything is much appreciated. This is just a more consistent way to pay a hoe, pretty much spending what you would for Netflix, but to help your favorite hoes.
Yeah. And speaking of support, because, you know, we like to talk about support.
I love support.
Support is great. Want to help us out and win some free IHU merch at the same damn time?
Yes.
Of course you do. We're running a special contest for spring, and all you have to do to enter is rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Mm-hmm. By doing this, you're helping us pop up on lists that Apple curates. And this will also help expose us to new listeners and sustain us in the long run. If you want to participate, it's easy. All you have to do is follow the link that will be in the description of this episode, then hit the purple subscribe button at the top of the page, scroll down to ratings and reviews, click the button, write a review, tap 5 stars, and write a title, nice, not nice, long as it's 5 stars, mm-hmm. and review, and finally hit send. We will randomly be selecting a winner who will be announced by the end of spring, so stay tuned.
Also, very big shout out to the people who have been rating and reviewing on fucking Apple. I think in April we started with like
304, I think.
No. Remember when it was like still?
Oh, yeah.
It was like 250 or something like that, and now we're at 313.
Ooh,
yeah.
Ooh,
out here working.
I was really excited when it was 305 because it reminded me of Pitbull, and I was like, "Mr. 305" for like the whole day. But now we're at 313, and I have nothing to to associate that with. Yeah. Also, note if your review doesn't go through, like if you see an error or something like that, or it's just not sending, it's probably because your nickname is not unique enough. So go back, change it to a more unique nickname, probably with like letters and symbols and things like that, and then it should go through if you run into that issue. Going to the actual show, guys.
Hey.
So this week has been full of rife with more Me Too era type stuff, like Morgan Freeman raping everybody and or sexually assaulting everybody.
Sexual harassment?
He's just being a creepy old man.
Oh, and it hurt
my
heart.
Yeah. And R. Kelly being like, well, it's too late to get me out the paint and things like that. But then also Harvey Weinstein went to jail or turned himself in or something like that. So that was nice.
That was nice.
That was like a big F you to all the hoteps who were like, how come only Bill Cosby goes to jail? When is Harvey Weinstein going to jail?
Like, what are you guys going to say now?
It's just like, in your life, and then we're going to get off current events, but in your life, have you ever seen a notable black or white man go to jail for raping somebody? I've never seen it. So when Bill Cosby happened, I was like, what are y'all talking about? It's only black men. It's literally never anybody.
Mm-hmm.
It was only Bill Cosby because it was like 70 people.
Like I had somebody say that to me.
And that's why Harvey Weinstein's
like,
going too, because it was like mad women.
I was like, even if, why does it matter what his skin color is? Like,
yeah, right now in this moment, right? Like, why don't you ever fight for racial justice at any other time other than this? You weirdos.
I'm skipping the current events segment because fuck that. Yeah. What's our first segment?
Fuck me.
The segment about our sexual, romantic, and dating lives.
Wow.
Well, your name is here first. I figure you go first.
Yeah, why not? So after the solo poly episode, mm-hmm. me and Sam were talking off mic, just about it, kind of our feedbacks, how we processed it or whatever. And I realized that a lot of the tenets of solo poly spoke to me as a person, mm-hmm. and we were jokingly talking about solo monogamy.
Yeah.
So I googled it. It's not a thing.
Damn.
But it's
what,
like,
did you guys come up with for solo monogamy?
Well, like, my whole life plan is like to be married, to be couples, but in a very autonomous way. Like, I want my own house. Ooh, I want separate finances. We might have separate children.
Separate children. That's a thing.
Like, I have my child already. You can bring yours. Like, I know I don't want any more children. So, like, if I do get married, my husband may have to have his own children if he wants more. And we can, like, blend a family. But, so, like, those won't be your kids. Like, I won't treat them like that. But mm-hmm. literally, like, this is still my kid over here.
I just
like,
want to give birth to it.
Yeah, like, I don't want.
Would you do a surrogate situation? With your eggs?
No, I think I don't think parenting is for me after this.
It was like, I'm dying. I feel that though. That's how my parents were after some point. They were like, niggas, we love you and we'll help you out, but
damn, we gotta cut it off at this.
Damn.
So when are you leaving?
Is it 18 yet?
No, I'm kidding.
But yeah, so like with that, I was like, is solo monogamy a thing? Because mm-hmm. I've always been like I don't know why I've been using this word so much lately, gung-ho, because I can't figure out something else. I don't know why.
I always wonder, is that word racist?
It might be.
Sorry.
It's like, what's the origin?
It's probably something making fun of Asian people, yeah.
But I've always been like...
Hype.
Fixated, let's use the word fixated
hype.
On like
the fucking mic. We hate you.
You've been mad hype.
You've been hype.
Hype for gung ho. Like,
I've
what?
Always been fixated on like having my own space.
Yeah.
Once yes. couples, and I've like compromised, like, okay, maybe, you know, we'll get married, we'll get a big ass house, and I can have like my own bedroom with my own closet, yeah. like my own office that can't nobody ever come in. Mm-hmm. But like, I really want my own house. And I remember there was a tweet on Twitter, I can't remember the origin, but it was saying, the person writing was saying how her professor like is married and has her own house. And like, it's like really a thing if you really want it. Like, your husband should meet your needs. Mm-hmm. Like, her husband pays two mortgages and niggas is fine. And that like blew my mind. I was like, nigga, this is a reality for me. I can just make my demands.
That's why I love social media.
Oh,
there's something for everybody.
It
makes the world smaller. Yeah.
Ever since then, I've been stuck on, I'm like, I am getting my own house. Like, yeah. And it could be right next door. It could have like a fucking vestibule that connects us and shit. Yeah. But I need my space. Like, I need my space. Because a lot of it stems, I've never had my space, my own space. Mm. So it's like, I can't imagine living the life I live right now, mm-hmm. you know, eventually getting my own place and then, you know, finding a partner and then having to like have someone
I'm up under this nigga all the time.
And
yeah.
No, like, no, you it ain't gonna last. It's not gonna last. So
fuck about my face.
Solo monogamy is not a thing, but I'm gonna
you
start
make
it because
thing, yeah.
This, if you feel the same way I do, let
yeah,
me know.
That's
let's,
so beautiful.
Let's create a community about
two people
this.
Who need their space.
And if not, solo poly may be for me if I ever get my communication skills up to par, you know. If I fix the shit in my life, you know, okay. I might be a solo poly person. We'll work on that.
I fuck with it.
Besides that, I'm still abstaining from dick. Because...
How's that going?
Still in a world of splendor.
How's that world of splendor working out for you?
I am fine with it. I just feel like now, I'm just being attracted to a lot of people because there's nowhere
that
to
builds
direct
up energy,
that.
Yeah.
So it's like, just like I saw propaganda, I was like, oh, you fine as fuck. Like, it's kind of like that every day. Like, I'm on the bus, you kind of fine.
Yeah.
Like, but, but I'm not paying it no mind because I know where it stems from and I'm not like actively engaging people just for the sake of like being attached or feel having that, you know, validation okay. of being attached.
So you're not fucking niggas in NOLA with me, son? You're not hoeing in NOLA with
Damn.
Me?
Damn. I'm going to think about that.
Don't do it because of Sam. She's a terrible, terrible human being.
No, I literally...
I am? Since when? What the fuck? She's like, yeah, I'm happy, you know, really being disciplined. You're like, so you're not gonna fuck niggas with me at NOLA? That's why you're a terrible person.
You're right. You got it. I'm like,
sorry. She said she was fine.
I didn't plan on it.
Now it's a bundle.
Now it's like, am I fucking NOLA?
Is it a whole trip?
It was always a whole trip.
Okay, that's good to hear.
Go ahead, Sam.
Okay, so I thought I was pregnant, guys.
Oh my God.
Both of you know that. Yeah. That was like crazy though. So I only missed my period once in my entire life, and that was when I was like in sixth grade, and I was very, very depressed during that 1 month, and it didn't come, and I was like, all right, this is what the body does. I knew I wasn't pregnant because I wouldn't have no sex at that time. And then ever since then, I've only missed my period when I purposely skipped it with birth control. The week before last, I felt all of the PMS symptoms, and every day I was like going to work with the tampon, like, here it is or whatever. I wasted all of my panty liners because I'm too cheap to buy pads. Mm-hmm. So I stacked two panty liners together because I don't really need pads once I have a tampon, whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm fucking broke and cheap. But I wasted shut up, Rodeca. I say too much about
this
myself
is real
on this
though.
Show.
That's what I'm like, not even
so relatable.
So and I'm like, yeah, cool, because like, she's like, yeah,
me too.
That's for what?
No, exactly.
That's yeah. for what?
But yeah, run to the bathroom all crazy or whatever, never happened. And then we got together in New Jersey, and I thought it was really going to come then or whatever, because I think I was like really, really tired. My titties were really, really paining me, and it still didn't come. So then I just started putting things together. Like I told you, I thought my hips were getting bigger.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I was just like, there's that womanly weight. Like, there's that womanly weight. I Googled it. Somebody was like, oh, sometimes you feel all of the PMS symptoms and that means you're pregnant. So I was like, okay, that's what that was. I've been eating grapefruits a lot lately. I was like, okay, I have the fucking cravings. Like, I'm pregnant. Like, I'm ready to get this shit handled. And by that, I mean an abortion, because I do not want children right now. So yeah, I told everybody.
Just even like, yeah, guys, this is happening.
And I was getting ready to get a pregnancy test from a cool.
Like, I was ready to get in my car, like, talking about she needs to edit the podcast. It's like, no, we need to be peeing on sticks right now.
I figure if there's a child there, it's going to be there. No, you were very right.
It wasn't
going
anywhere.
The show, and y'all got the episode on Wednesday morning, so thank you. That's me putting the show over the child. That's why I need not have a child right now. Like,
you were very right, but I was like, my anxiety was on 10. I was like, pregnant, because you know, I get into a panic mode. I've been traumatized by pregnancy, so it's like, yeah. Now I was like, pregnancy. Oh, yeah. No. We cannot.
And then I said to Akua that I saw a brown discharge, and this bitch was like, it might be implantation bleeding. And
oh,
I was like, what the fuck is that?
There you go.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I was so pissed. I was like, I don't know anything about this pregnancy shit. I'm just ready to end it. I'm just ready for it to be done. So I like got to work that day like, oh, man, bitch is really pregnant out here. That sucks. I also hadn't had any unprotected sex or anything like that. So I was just like, the condom failed. I don't know what happened, but the condom failed. And then I was like, who's the dad?
Oh, shit.
They like that sometimes, man.
Because there have been three niggas in that time period, so I was like, damn. Not trying to have any of these niggas' children to be.
Yo, you were going through it, man. I'm sorry.
And then I peed at work, and then I wiped, and I always look after I wipe. Mm-hmm. And it was just the beautiful shade of pink.
Yes.
The most beautiful shade of pink I've ever seen in my entire life.
It's really
life.
Like you look at the tissue and you're like,
exactly. And so much stupid shit happened at work that day, but I was like, nah, it's a beautiful ass day.
Like, it's a beautiful ass day. Yeah. I ain't even mad, yo. That was me literally in my last period. I was just like, you know what? Exactly. I'm bleeding, guys, and it's a good day. It's a fucking
cramps
good day.
Cramps was on 10, but I was like, nah, it's fine.
You welcome me. You're like, it's better than a goddamn baby. I can't go through this.
And you know, sometimes like niggas hit you up throughout the day, like, how's your day been or whatever? And like, in my head, I was like, fantastic. I'm glad I'm not fucking pregnant, son. But I kept that to myself. I gotta have some couth.
I too am glad you're not pregnant. Yeah, we don't need too. The stress in times where we're not
too
pregnant.
Much. We got to put IHU above the baby, and that's fucked up. That's a fucked up thing to do when you have a child. Aside from that, by the time that this comes out, it will be probably either May 29th or May 30th, which used to be my old anniversary, guys. It's been a full year.
I can't even believe it.
I can't believe that
at
all.
I cannot. Yeah,
that's actually really crazy.
Like,
what's crazy about it?
I remember us being in the car.
Well, it actually, it's been a whole year since 3 days after my birthday, because that was the most opportune time to break up with me, okay. And I know you're listening. Never forget.
Yikes.
But, yeah, I mean, I figured this is still some sort of, like, moment. Mm-hmm. And I kind of was, like, thinking about that once it happened, like, oh, man. May 30th will never be the same ever again. And I forgot about it for a long time. And then I just like looked at the calendar. I was like, damn, this used to mean something. And now it means absolutely nothing. So, yeah.
So quiet in here. Man.
You know what it means? It means that this is the perfect time for me to get on Instagram and post the Drake caption, "Had a man last year, life goes on." And that's what I will do. Yes.
I'll be there to like it.
Thank you. One. Thank you.
Gotta be a nice ass shot, too.
Of course. Yes. Especially with these new womanly hips, thanks to my non-pregnancy. Yeah, that is beautiful. I don't know. I just feel when that first happened, you guys both saw me. I thought, like, not that I would never be okay ever again, but it was just a really, really dark, sad time. And I'm just, like, fine with everything. Like, I'm so chilling right now, so I'm like really happy, and I think that's cool to just see that progression within myself. Mm-hmm. And then, like, last week I got into something happened or whatever with the person who's doming me, even though that hasn't really been working out. It hasn't been working out because I was like sick for like a month and whatever, and we didn't like play in the way that we wanted to or whatever, but we got into like a mini altercation or like misunderstanding or whatever, and I'm really proud of my growth in handling misunderstandings, because I used to be a hothead when it came to like relationshipy stuff and just like kind of like vomited out anger. Mm-hmm. But now I'm just like, here's what I'm feeling, might need to take some space, not sure if you intended to hurt me in this way, but this is the way that I'm hurt, and I just wanted to let you know that and wanted to hear your thoughts about it. And that is like some beautiful ass shit.
Real.
I'm not even that grown.
I don't know how I've gotten here. Sent you screenshots, so you know I'm not there.
Who does these things? Stating our needs clearly.
Yeah. I think, one, being non-monogamous for a certain period of time helped, even though, like, things weren't going great at that time. That was definitely, like, the building blocks to that. Not wanting to be angry, because I don't like anger as a feeling, even though I was so angry all the time. And then also seeing the growth of my mom as a person, because when I was younger, she was angry as fuck. Like, not all the time angry, but when she was angry, it would just be like, nah, I'm coming for blood. I didn't even give a shit. Because she was like an Aries or whatever, and she actually acted like an Aries. But, like, to see the progression of a person, like, in, and I only knew her for 24 years, or 24 years, like, to see the progression of a person to get to a point where it's just like, nah, that shit doesn't really even bother me like that. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to, like, model my life after that, and I think I'm doing a good-ass job.
Yes, you are.
Proud of you.
Proud of you.
Pat on the back for me. And then the last thing, also, like, seeing and being able to communicate with niggas who might not feel the same way as you. So there's a nigga who I like, and he doesn't really like me like that. And I just was like starting to get those vibes. Like I said, I miss you, and he just curved it, and I was like, that's what I do to people I don't like, so clearly you don't really like me like that. And I brought it up, and I was just like, it seems like you're more interested in me for sex rather than like hanging out, which is fine, because that's the way that I'm interested in some people. But I just wanted to let you know that I'm interested in you for this and not so much sex, and wanted to clarify how you were interested in me. And I gave him a breakdown. I was like, is it a 90-10 kind of thing? Is it an 80-20 kind of thing? And he was like, it's 70-30. I was like, okay, cool. Good to know. And that's nice. I mean, it's not nice that he doesn't like me, but I also think I handled that nicely.
You did.
I'm just infatuated with myself in this moment.
Yes.
We're both infatuated with you. I can speak for a clue. We're looking at you with the eyes like,
thanks, guys.
You're so strong.
For this 1 week of my life, it's because I had a pregnancy scare. Next week, I'm yelling at neighbors and I'm coming for blood. The Aries within
is
coming out.
It's like this new epiphany after this pregnancy scare. It's like, I have to live life a whole new way.
I gotta be a better person.
It was almost all over.
I communicate. Exactly. I need to do a lot of different things. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my fuck me.
Yes.
Thank you.
That was good. Thanks. I like hearing about you, Sam. I like hearing about you, Akua. I love hearing about you.
I like hearing about all of you guys. And Rob. Rob was supposed to Skype in, but they couldn't.
Now I'm sad again. I was happy when I heard in the car, and now I'm sad.
I'm sorry.
I think it's kind of funny because I kind of went through two similar things, but not really with you guys, like at the same time as you guys. Anyway.
Okay.
So, like, for me, the kids thing, I didn't have a pregnancy scared, but I realized I don't know if I want to have kids ever or mm-hmm. if I don't want to have kids for a while. And this
That's
actually,
how I feel too sometimes.
I've had a lot of, like, I've thought of this back and forth a lot. But there's like three top reasons why I'm like putting it off is because one, giving birth and having a child in my body for some reason scares the shit out of me. Like just even thinking about like carrying a kid mm-hmm. for 9 months. And then it kind of makes me feel claustrophobic. I guess that's the best way I can think about it because I'm like,
but you're not in it.
Because it's just like always like, it makes me feel like tight, like I'm thinking about it and I'm like there's something always there and I can't go anywhere.
Wow,
and
I never
I'm
thought like about trapped.
It
like that.
And I'm like, yo, what if I just really can't handle it, or what, like, just as a person, or like what if it's really uncomfortable? Or I know some people who like went through a lot of stuff when they were pregnant. It was a lot of complications, and like that's my anxiety going like, ugh, what
is scary,
you know? I don't know. Yeah. And that's one thing.
Yeah.
and then I watched this video of this lady who was just like giving birth standing up. It was going around this week. I'll send it to you. She just gave birth and I was like, oh my god.
On purpose?
Yeah, standing up. And it
wasn't even like squatting?
Like bending a little.
Was she one of those people in the tubs?
No, I've seen that before.
Oh,
I've watched a lot of birth videos, actually. Yeah, because I'm fascinated with things I haven't experienced. So, like, for me, it's just like, I guess also just because ever since the dawn of like the internet, I've just always been sitting like and going through Wikipedia and always just like learning. This is like
the
what
binges,
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's that. But then also the reason why was because I had a conversation and this happened like a couple of days ago, and the looks that I got afterwards made me realize I wasn't ready to have kids. So they were talking to me and they were like, oh, you know, when you have a child, like, you have to put them before everything. And I was like, yeah, you know, I understand that. And they're like, you know, if their child's in danger, like, you have to be willing to die for them. And like, I was like, nah, like, that's what I said. I know that sounds crazy, but like, and I hope y'all don't judge me, but I was really like, nah. And they were like, what do you mean? I was like, there's no situation where I'm so self-preserving that I'm like, I'm not dying for anybody. And that's what I kept saying. Like, I was like, yo, and Sam was looking at me, but I'm like, and it's like, I don't have kids yet, so it's okay. Yeah. Because I'm not having this conversation with a child and saying like, yo, I fuck you. Like, it's it's one of those things where like I may not be able to even make that decision, because if that's what's expected of me, I don't think that I could do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to be in a situation where I would do it, because I don't
want to die.
I don't want to be that person, you know? And then they're like, and I'm like, okay, yeah, there's no, I'm like, I think I could just not put my child in that situation. How about that? How about I never get in a situation when that happens? But they're like, but if you do, what will you do? And I just kept making these
love conversations.
And it was
like
this horrified look. And I was like, I'm not, like, it starts to scream. I was like, no,
yeah.
Like, for nobody. Like, it doesn't, and that means like, and should I never like even be in a relationship or with a, like, a baby? Because I'm like, I'm running.
Oh, wait. I'm gonna pick the nigga up.
Fuck, I'm gonna try. But it's just like, okay, fine. That
no.
the silence in the room made me realize how bad it was.
No,
but
no, go ahead, Sam.
I was gonna say, I think about that a lot. I don't know why. I'm just a very weird person.
Yeah.
And I think like my gut thing is like, damn, I really don't want to die. But I also think I just put myself past that moment, and
yeah.
I think, oh, I probably wouldn't be able to go on living if I knew that I wouldn't sacrifice my own life for this person or whatever. And I don't even think about that at kids. I think about that about other people too.
Yeah.
So, hey, you guys, I'm probably going to save you because I don't want to be depressed forever
afterwards.
Not because I care about you.
I remember talking about scenarios like if we're caught in a burning fire and I'm like, leave me there. Like, don't come back for me. Get out. Save yourself and
yeah.
go.
I mean, that's another thing, because then the other person might have survivor's guilt.
There
just
is therapy
in these situations.
For that. Leave me. Okay, you will live and go through therapy. Leave me there by myself. I will be okay.
Survivor's guilt is not a thing for me. I'd be like, they wanted me to live on. No, but I mean, like, the thing
it's
is
a tricky
also,
topic.
The thing is, yeah, it's tricky because you don't know what you're doing in the situation. I've also been in situations where like somebody's about to get hit by a car by me, and I'm pushing them out the way, and I'm not even thinking about it. Mm-hmm. So it's like, maybe in that situation, if it's a split second, you never know. Mm-hmm. But like, if I was like getting hurt or like trapped in a burning building, I wouldn't expect anybody to come for me. I'd be mm-hmm. like, nah, this is just it. Like, I wouldn't come for me.
No,
so
if you came for me, I'd be really mad at you.
How about my taxes, FDNY? You better get your
yeah,
asses
true,
up there. What
true.
The fuck?
That's true.
That's who I want to come for me.
Yeah, yeah. But like, there'll be like these stories of like, oh yeah, he was a hero because he was a random stranger.
That wasn't
yeah,
gonna be me.
I mean, he's a stranger on the street running into yeah. a building, and I'm like.
I feel like
why?
if you have those capabilities,
maybe.
Then sure, yeah, whatever, you're trained to do that. But yeah. if you don't, then don't be a dumbass.
Yeah.
So that puts more people in danger.
True.
Yeah.
But I was also going to say that, you know, you're thinking about it now, not being in that space mm-hmm. in life. Like, I don't think I've ever thought about it. But I know for the most part, like, I don't want people to save me, and I may not be saving other people depending on who you are. Yeah. But there was this one time where I was on the Ave with my son, and we were on Popeyes eating chicken because that's what we do. Yeah. And people started running. They're like, oh, they're shooting. And I literally, like, without thinking, like, literally shielded my son with my whole body on the wheelchair without, like, even thinking. And afterwards, I was like, a bitch was getting ready to get shot for this little boy.
Like, I am a mother.
I never thought I'd see the day. But I love you. You wasn't aww. Gonna get hurt today. Like,
yeah.
it comes so instinctually. So maybe you just have to be in that moment, mm-hmm. you know, with kids and see what happens.
Yeah.
But you're in this, you know, independent individual state
yeah.
right now. So it's like, yeah, I'm going to save myself. Yeah. Yeah. I am the entity.
That's
here.
Why it's weird and dumb to have conversations like that
yeah,
because then
no
it just provides people a gotcha for because you reacted like that to be like, this bitch is heartless or whatever. Mm-hmm. But who knows what the fuck they would
they
do
would
in whatever
do.
Situation
true.
Or what they have done in the past. You know?
Yeah, they would so. Be the one to say, oh, I'll do this and do that and run out on
y'all
people.
Niggas can't even like stop a nigga from calling me a bitch on Twitter. So you, who the fuck you saving like at the end of the day?
Nobody. Literally. This also made me feel like disillusioned with like marriage and like everything that mm-hmm. I thought that I wanted immediately or at 25, which okay. I'm thinking like as a kid, I'm like, yo, man, I'm definitely going to be married by now and have
I don't
mad
know where
kids.
That number came from.
It wasn't boy. 20. For me, it was.
Because it's everybody was like 25. Now we're all 25. Like, okay.
And I'm like, yo, like, yeah, that was really. Yesterday. I'm just like, I more power to people who are like really there. Like doing it. Mm-hmm. Like everything. Like, I don't know how you guys are landing these jobs. I don't know where you guys are looking.
I don't know. These husbands, these wives, these
you guys
partners.
Are on top of pyramids with your children, three children and a husband that you've been married to for 10 years
full
somehow.
Families.
I don't know. Yeah. And more power to you, but like for me, I guess not that I don't want it, but more and more I'm just thinking like it's not the ultimate that I always thought it was.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then in my relationship now, I'm noticing, and I guess I'm starting to like act more chill in terms of like in the past, my relationships were always what. Everything in my life centered around my relationship, mm-hmm. if that made it makes any sense. Like, mm-hmm. it would always be like, I don't know, just like no matter what conversation was going on, I would always be thinking about the person that I was with, I would always be thinking about. And like the first time around, it was because it was just an unhealthy relationship and I didn't have a choice. The mm-hmm. second time, it was because we lived in the same like dorm building. So mm-hmm. I was like, I see you all the time. Yeah. If I'm going to eat lunch, you're going to come with me and da da da. With my relationship now, it kind of, we work around each other and we're kind of like circling around each other in terms of like, if I'm thinking about us as planets, but we're like, we're always meeting up in the middle, like at least once a week and just saying like, you know, how are you? And like, he comes over and we visit each other. But like, I do a lot of stuff like on my own. I'm always like moving around on my own and he's always moving around. Like, he has his routines. He goes and plays basketball every Thursday. He plays bowling with his, he bowls with his boys on Sundays. Like, mm-hmm. he's living his life the same way that he would before. Mm-hmm. And it's just different because it feels kind of like I'm dating, like, mm-hmm. but it's still a relationship because we talk every day and stuff like that. But I feel more like I'm independent. I feel way more independent than I've ever felt in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And for me, it's just like, it's nice because I just feel like I don't feel overwhelmed or like claustrophobic or mm-hmm. anything like that. And like, mm-hmm. I was saying with Sam, I do agree that I've been more mature in terms of my communication because like, I'll be like, I don't really want to like, I don't want you in my room today because I just got a room. Mm-hmm, and like, yeah. sometimes I don't want to share the space. I just mm-hmm. want to, exactly. That's why I was saying like, we had a similar week because I was just like, I don't always want to be around you. I love you. And this is kind of, I'm bringing this up because I want to talk about this debate between texting and talking, because I realize something about myself that may be selfish and I don't know.
Selfish isn't always bad.
Yeah. But this is one thing in our relationship that we can't seem to agree on. Mm-hmm. I don't like talking on the phone.
Me neither.
Me neither.
I don't like talking on the phone. Like, yeah. I don't. I will text you all day. Like, yeah. Yo, this happened. Da da da. All day.
Paragraphs.
Exactly.
Like,
voice notes.
Maybe even voice. Yeah.
Voice notes. And like, I'm the type of person to just like everything that's on my mind, or like I can edit it. I can talk as much as I need or as little as I need, and I'm fine. Mm-hmm. Like, if you tell me you don't feel like texting right, I'm gonna put my phone down. Or I'm gonna text somebody else. I'm just like, you know, whatever. He is a phone person, and it's so hard because it comes up as conversation and it comes up as like, please, like he'll call me and like he'll text me and just like in the middle of our texting thing he'll be like, talk, and I'm like, no, what do you mean?
So he want like just like every day, like every we're day. Just chatting talk, because like if something happens, if we gotta go through a rundown or whatever, like you had a crazy week and I had a crazy week,
talk. I'm the first person to pick up the phone and be like, he'll be like, yo, and I'll be like, yo, he's like, I can't even text at all, then I'll pick up the phone and be like tell me everything. Sometimes it'll just be like nothing.
I just called.
We not on no. So what are you doing on the phone anymore? Like that's so.
And like that's what I started doing.
I hate that.
Like when it started getting like dead space, I'll just be like, so are we talking? Or like, because I just feel like I can't do as much. I can't like watch TV because I have to hear you if
exactly.
you speak.
Exactly. Listen.
If something funny happens,
I can't listen to voice notes from other niggas. That's something I get into a lot, honestly. That really bothers me.
It's just like, and then it's even worse because when I'm outside, I got
you're terrible. I tried to ignore it, but I was like, she's dead ass.
No, and she never said I'm kidding. So I'm like,
I'm just not kidding. That happens a lot.
She's dead ass. Damn, right you cop blocking me, bro. Like, damn.
So I'm crying. Oh my gosh.
But that's the thing. Like, I don't know. I we've had that conversation, and I've realized that I'm trying to compromise because I do call, but then like, if we're texting for too long, or in his definition that he knows I'm home, he'll be like, so we're not talking on the phone tonight? I'm like, no, nigga, we're not talking on the phone tonight. No. Oh. And I just, and I'm like, I find myself, I don't know, sometimes just being like, oh, nah, my sister's talking to me.
Damn.
Lying.
Yeah.
And I don't want that. But it's just like, we have a conversation where we're trying to find a middle ground. But I wanted to know. I just wanted to see if I was crazy because I fucking hate talking on the phone.
So do we.
And it's like, it's not that I don't like talking to him. I love when you're here. Yeah. It's just like, can I chill? Can I not be on the phone for dead space and just be like,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I'm not a talking on the phone person. I've run into friendships and relationships. Everybody wants to talk on the phone. Mm. And it's become these points of like contention in all of my relationships with these people, platonic
sometimes
or romantic.
Like
you know, that it's like, oh, you don't call me, and I'm like, I talk to you.
I don't call anybody.
That is, no, Samantha. Yo. When I say that is my number one line, I'm like, I don't call my mother. I don't call anybody. Yeah. Like, I hang up on my son when he FaceTimes me. Like, it's not just you.
Deadass though.
It is not you. Don't take it personal. I will text him back, sure, but I'm not FaceTiming with him about nothing. No, like, I just can't. I feel you.
No, and it sucks. I know what you mean because it's not just in like my relationship. Me and my sister, I have three sisters. Me and my sister that I live with, we understand each other. I don't know if it's like a family thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. We don't call each other. I don't even remember the last time I've ever called my sister.
Yeah.
And me and her, she's having a similar issue in her own relationship.
Oh, wow.
So we're both like, yo, and we're just vent over each other because of the fact that we just don't. Mm-hmm. And this is fine because I tell Bryce all the time I hate talking on the phone, but I didn't. And he'll even say, like, if he does talk to me on the phone, he'll be like, thank you, because I know you hate doing this. And I'm like, you know I hate fucking doing this.
Yeah.
But it did cause it's still causing a rift between me and my other sister, because of the fact that she felt like I didn't want to talk to her or be around her. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I just genuinely don't like talking on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And I told myself I would start calling at least once a month, but like, as soon as I'm ready to press the talk button, I'm just like, oh my god.
Yeah, it's like this feeling of work fatigue before you've even started. Like, I really have to do this.
It's just like this deep sigh because you're like, you don't know how long it's going to be on the phone. And it has nothing to do with the person. It's just feeling, for me, it's feeling stuck to like, and it's worse because if I'm in a public place, I have fucking Sprint. So I can't text. I have nothing. I'm literally on the phone and that's it. And like, I don't know. Is that because we just have technology now and that's what it is?
But I mean, I was always an AIM shout person out to the too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just going to say shout out to the technology for like providing access to people who didn't want to talk on the phone.
Yeah,
like,
true. Because that was the only way.
I don't know how I would have survived back in the day when it was just telephone
calls.
I wouldn't
talk to niggas, honestly.
At all. I wouldn't.
No. I wasn't doing it then very much, so.
The last thing is I lost 38 pounds since the start of my weight loss journey.
Congratulations.
Thanks guys. I'm trying to internalize it because I feel like I look exactly the same and it kind of sucks. But I'm still trying to like, it's hard because you see the scale moving, but you're like, I should be skinny now, you know? Not even skinny, but I should be, you know what I mean? No. It's like, I ate a vegetable this morning. What's going on?
Where are my abs?
Like, it's like, I follow a lot of pages for inspiration, and on the good days, it's very inspiring. On other days, it makes me feel like, fuck. Like, mm-hmm. They're talking about, oh yeah, in 6 months, I lost my 70 pounds, and they look like completely different people. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm at 40 now. And I don't see the huge difference, but I'm trying to stay motivated. And then it's also weird because I'm finding, and I'm finding, and I don't know if any of the listeners have like ran into this, but I'm finding that people are a lot less supportive than I thought they would be in terms of people who haven't lost weight themselves. And I know that sounds crazy, and I'm talking about someone in particular, but I'm not going to say who. But like, I was sharing the information with them, and they were like, oh, you don't get hungry and da 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 da. And then they put a chocolate bar under my nose and was like, I'm sure you want to smell this. And I was like,
that's a really weird thing to do. And I was like, that sounds abusive.
Are you supporting me? Or like, and it was like, I don't know. It wasn't like, I don't think it was a jealousy thing because like nothing huge has changed.
Oh, was this person also trying to lose weight?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's another person who's also trying to lose weight.
Okay, that is weird. That is really weird.
And
actually,
it was just like, it sucked to me because I was like, if I didn't have the willpower that I did now, I know me as a person at another point would have probably like broke down and ended up like, you don't understand, like I have bad binging problems and all that type of stuff. Like in the middle of the night, I probably would have like ate like 3 candy bars because of the smell, you know what I mean? But I'm trying to be better. So it was just kind of, it was kind of frustrating. So I hope it doesn't get worse.
Did you tell them?
I did. I said, why would you do that? But Alex,
who is this? Do you want me to yell at them? I don't like that. That was weird.
No,
that was a weird thing to do.
It was a weird thing to do, and I was like, "Why? Why would you do that?" And it was just like, it was awkward because of the person who was.
It's so common for me because I'm always losing weight, and there are certain people. There's always certain people who are trying to lose weight themselves, and they see their progress, and they are jealous and they are upset with themselves, so they're trying to sabotage your progress.
Yeah.
And it turns very toxic, and these are people that are very intimate to you, people you hold close to, so you wouldn't expect that. You expect genuine happiness for what you're doing, but no, you get this toxic behavior because they're unhappy with themselves currently. I've seen it all the time.
Well, here I am, new to it, and I was just so shocked. I was like, I just wouldn't do that to somebody who's like expressing that they're, you know, I'm like, oh, even in that moment, like,
it's a weird backhanded compliment.
Yeah,
sort of.
It was
thing.
Just like, it's, and it's a person close to me that they're unavoidable, and it's like, it's gonna get worse as I continue to do better because I don't want to say like, if I do better, I'm trying to like use positive affirmations, but like, it's just like, damn, I didn't expect that, and it's so soon, like nothing has even happened yet, you know. So I don't know, but yeah. I mean, good things. It's good.
Here is a tip for kind of internalizing the progress is if you can look at old pictures because body dysmorphia is real.
Yeah.
And I will look at myself. I have also lost about like 30 pounds, 35 pounds. Thank you. And I didn't notice it, but fitting into old clothes and old sizes I haven't worn in like 2 to 3 years, like these pants I haven't worn 2 to 3 years, ooh, and being able to put them shits back on, I was like, nigga, I'm not really losing weight. Like, or looking at old pictures, you'll start to see the difference, like, oh, that was a whole nother person.
Yeah.
Like, who that? Really helps. So like, not the scale, because sometimes the scale will go up and you don't know how, and you're like, oh, is it body weight, is it PMS, is that drink too much water, am I bloated, you know? But being able to fit into a dress dress that you bought because you knew it was a certain size. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, a bitch made it.
That's what I'm going to try and do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but... And then, like, solace in the fact that, like, you're, like, eating healthier and shit, yeah, like that, mm-hmm, right? Like, damn, I'm not putting, like, toxins in my body, yeah, and stuff like that.
And it's, you also feel better.
Be happy about.
Yeah. But for some reason, and this sounds bad, because today I literally texted Bryce and I was like, I miss the feeling of, like, you know when you eat way too much food and you're just like, your, yeah, stomach is stretching, you're like, ugh.
There's,
like,
a satiated, yeah, feeling that comforts you.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I miss that feeling. But I'm like, I know that's coming from, like, a bad place where I would, like, do that all the time. So I was like, I'm not hungry, so there's no reason for me to. It's just like tackling a lot of mental, like, there's so much comfort in food that, mm-hmm, I'm trying to, I don't want to lose my love of food because I genuinely love cooking. I genuinely love those things. I don't want to not love those things. I've always dreamed that, like, when I get my house by myself, when my husband lives in another house, like, a club, I've always dreamed that, like, I had a garden and, like, with herbs and stuff, mm-hmm, like that, because I, yeah, just love cooking and, mm-hmm, fresh food, but, like, it's even worse when food can be really fun, comfortable, but it can also be, like, literally,
yeah,
the thing that could kill me, and I don't want that to happen to me. You, mm-hmm, know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
That's also good that you're growing mentally, man.
Trying.
Proud of you.
Thanks.
Proud of you too, Akua.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Fuck you!
The segment about your sexual, romantic, and dating lives, where we read your letters. If you would like to ask us for some advice, share your hotels, or rant against the white cishet patriarchy, please send your thoughts to ihupodcast@gmail.com and please include your pronouns so we can say them while we're reading your stuff.
Dear Divine Hoes, my name is T, and I have recently transitioned into my hoedom.
Yay,
welcome. Congratulations. Welcome to
the cock side.
Hey.
Or the vagina side.
I was in a relationship with a guy for almost 2 years, and while he was super, super sweet, I didn't find myself learning much from him or feeling like I was growing. Last October, we broke up, and I started my journey of hoe. Weird enough, his female pansexual sex-positive roommate is the one who introduced me to your podcast the night of the breakup, and man, what an amazing blessing. Your podcast has helped validate so many parts of myself and weirdly always seems to align with issues going on in my life.
Because we all going through it.
Relatable assholes.
We all going through it.
Anyways, fast forward about a month or two, I started fucking this guy who I had been friends with for quite a few years, who's also twice my age. I knew him from seeing him around while I was still in college and from our many, many mutual friends. I had always had a lingering crush on him, but I figured he always saw me as too juvenile, so I never pursued it. Juvenile came up and I thought back that After my breakup, I found solace in hanging out with him and talking to him, and we have so much in common. Dude listens as well, is hella progressive, and is super non-judgmental. Eventually, we started fucking. The sex is great, and the conversation is wonderful. There's no pressure to commit, and we're both very communicative about our needs, so there's no pettiness. Nice. It's essentially the best version of a friends with benefits you could possibly have.
Right.
The only issue is with the 20-year age difference. He's very anxious about people finding out and being very judgmental. We live in a small college town, and we're both pretty well known in the community. Between the two of us, he would probably end up with much more flack because he's older, even though we're both two consenting fucking adults, but whatever. This past weekend, he decided that we should just cut things off, which made me really sad. I wasn't sure if it was because I got too attached or if it was because I finally found a non-fuckboy situation without the pressure to commit, and now it was ending out of the blue. We end up having a conversation about it, which ended up leading to some of the best sex I've ever had in my life. We decided on maybe not ending things so definitively.
Of course.
I'm thinking the same thing. Of course you did. We decided on maybe not ending things so definitively and so suddenly, but while we're in a pending status, I'm not sure what to do. I'm not sure if I've caught feelings or if maybe he's caught feelings and is afraid on letting them grow. But all I know is I found a great fuck buddy, and I feel like I'm about to lose him. I'm not sure what to do here and would love any advice you have to give. Thank you for existing. Love y'all. T.
Thanks for writing in, T. And thank you for your love of the show earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, this is a...
That's deep.
This is... I don't know. I don't know. I get his... I get his fear. Like, if you are in a small town, maybe you don't want that backlash. Mm-hmm. Honestly, that's like a valid concern. Granted, you don't deserve that backlash, but like it can happen. And what I'm supposed to be like, oh, just face forward, live your life. Mm-hmm. Like if he doesn't want to do that, then he doesn't want to do that. Maybe like not take comfort or just not take comfort in knowing, but get to the point where you're just like, you kind of just have to accept that that's okay. Like mm-hmm. sometimes you're just not going to be in relationships mm-hmm. for or whatever situation that you want to be in for the rest of your life. This is good for you, but it might not
work out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that sucks. But
I don't know what the conversation you had prior to the good sex, but if it wasn't about kind of unpacking what you're both looking for in the relationship, because no one has to know if you're not looking to commit and you're just fucking. That ain't nobody's business but yours. True. If mm-hmm. you guys are like publicly dating, going out, and there's that fear that people might see you together, maybe renegotiating that if you're comfortable with that and he's comfortable with that, with doing things that are more intimate and close mm-hmm. to home. If all you're looking for is, you know, to have that emotional intimacy, to have that space with him and to have sex, but not to be, you know, out publicly or mm-hmm. like, you can do a lot of stuff at home. You can watch movies at home. Mm-hmm. You can cook at home. Like, there are a lot of home activities you can do to still have that person intimately in your life, both physically, emotionally, mm-hmm. you know, romantically, without having to go to the movies or food shopping mm-hmm. or whatever the fuck y'all are doing. Mm-hmm. So if that's something you're comfortable with and it would ease his anxiety about being seen with you for the backlash of, you know, the age difference, then that might be, you know, a good resolution, but it will still kind of, it'll keep coming up mm-hmm. and yeah. you'll have to keep renegotiating or figuring out what is best for you at that time.
Yeah, I thought his fear was just like, I thought that they were doing something like really intimate, but like, oh, her car is like outside or something like mm-hmm. that. Cause it said there was like a really small community. So I was like, oh, maybe like they're doing stuff real low, but they're even scared, or he's even scared on top of how low they're doing it. Or like she hops out the Uber and like the neighbor's like, hey girl, yeah. why are you here?
If that's the case, then you'll have to just part ways, because you can't come in the middle of the night. Like yeah. no one wants to be feeling like a hidden secret. Like, yeah. especially if you're an adult, but if it isn't, then
if that yeah. is what you want to, like, I hear exactly what you're saying, cool, because like if that's what you want to do, nobody really has to know your business. But mm-hmm. if it's unavoidable, and even the fact that you're thinking about like, oh, what if I'm catching feelings, I think you also yeah, need to that take means that into consideration.
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
the second part,
because
yeah.
you're thinking about that, which means that
yeah
what do you want? Do you want it to be like, oh, it's not a big deal, because it seems like to you it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. But if he's anxious about it, maybe for him it's not worth people finding out. Maybe he doesn't yeah. want it to be something that mm-hmm. if he is worried about catching feeling and he's worried that he's getting too deep in it, maybe he's doing it as self-preservation, which you know yeah. it's kind of shitty for you, but also it's at the valid. Same time it's very valid.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was gonna say, kind yeah. of, I don't know what that conversation was, but uh-huh. unpacking to see if it isn't, you know, this age difference in people finding out, but he is trying to find a way to detach mm-hmm. himself from you because he's feeling he's gaining emotions that he feels might not be reciprocated because you've stated what you wanted, or vice versa.
I know someone in a situation like that, and like if you don't be truthful with yourself or kind of realize what you actually want, like in the long run, is this something that you want forever, or did it, you know, if you don't, it will eventually deteriorate from the inside, because feeling like a secret and not like wanting it to be that way, it'll just bring up a whole bunch of things within your relationship or your fuck buddy relationship that mm-hmm. and yourself that you don't want. So you got to be real from now. And he probably was being mature in the fact that he was like, you know what, let's end it now, because it's just not going to end well. But mm-hmm. you just have to, sex is great and good dick will blind you.
Yeah.
But
I mean, it blinded both of them.
Yeah.
They're both like, well, maybe not.
Maybe, yeah. But you do have to be honest about it. Mm-hmm. And it's, again, we're true. Always saying it, but communication.
Yeah. That's, try that conversation again.
Show, honestly. Yeah. Communication. That's it.
Try that conversation again without the mind blowing sex and yeah. like
exactly.
get to
exactly.
a resolution.
Yeah. So we have our second letter from Cece. And Cece writes, hey, y'all. Love y'all. Love the podcast. Keep being great. All that jazz. Let's hop right in. To it like yes. that energy, keep it up. Thank you. So I started a sugar daddy / sugar baby arrangement in December, and it's been pretty good. Not exactly what I've expected, but not bad at all. He's in New York City and I'm about 4 hours away in a different state, so we've met up only once. He's busy, I'm busy, but we text and video call every few weeks. They text every few weeks.
Nice.
I feel like video call every
okay
few
okay
weeks.
But we do have a great connection. He gives great advice. That's really nice. And even though I don't see him much in person, he still sends me money, typically after we video chat, which sometimes literally just consists of chatting and watching Desus and Mero videos together, or him giving me advice on my freelance business. Hey, where did you find this guy?
Yeah,
and, can you send his friends our way? Or
I'll sit on the phone for that.
Exactly. I will call someone up for that shit.
Yeah. Cut to March of this year, I meet this really great guy and we've started dating as of the end of April. He lives down south, but he's moving up to where I live to go to school for his master's in the fall. And he's really the person I've always wanted to be with. Aw, so far no red flags or anything, but I always got my eyes peered, or is it peeled? I think it's peeled. Yeah.
Peeled.
Anywho, the dilemma. What do I do about having a boyfriend and a sugar daddy? I've mentioned to my boyfriend about having a sugar daddy situation and that I'm sacrificing a lot to be with him, but I didn't necessarily say the arrangement was a current thing or that I cut it off either. Do I tell him? Short answer, yes. Do I keep being a sugar baby on the low and see what happens? No. The relationship is new, so I also don't want to cut off my sugar daddy if this doesn't work out.
Don't
cut off your sugar.
Yeah, wait, no.
That's a subjective answer, but don't do
please.
That. But I do have a lot of love for my boyfriend and can envision a future with him, but I also want to be financially stable and have the guidance of a well-established man and a sugar daddy. I really just want the best of both worlds. Is that a thing? It can be, if you ask.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Cece. P.S. I'm about to be 25. My boyfriend is 24. My sugar daddy is 40. A fine-ass 40-year-old black man, too. I hope I have enough context to guide my destiny. I think so.
I think even I was reading it again and I was like, even the fact that you mentioned it to your boyfriend about it, not really the time period, but he didn't leave knowing that that might have been a part of your history.
Mm-hmm. So he's not complete trash.
He's not completely not like, oh my god, what the fuck is that?
Yeah.
You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised if he'd be okay with it. Like, it's money like coming in.
Yeah.
It's a stable condition, and if you explain, like, you guys seem to not see each other and you guys are fine with whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say it again, but communication can be, like, I mean, with my current boyfriend, we've discussed it. And I'm like, if that happens to me, if it happens to you, we're fucking doing it.
Yeah. That was
one. Don't even ask me.
That was one of the first, like, play with polyamory conversations that me and Akeem would have. Like, yo, like, can we set this up or can you set this up or something like that?
That's a go.
Yeah. Definitely, like, lay it all out and ask him. I would say, I don't know what the arrangement with your sugar daddy is, but, like, if sex is ever in the arrangement, mm-hmm. then you should, like, let your boyfriend know,
yeah,
like,
for
hey,
sure.
that's something that might happen. But, like, lay it all the fuck out. And then also tell your sugar daddy.
I was going to say, I don't know what your arrangement with your sugar daddy is, but definitely discuss what that is, you dating other people while he's still financially supporting you, because it looks like you won't be meeting, but he may also not want to do that. And if he finds out via some other method that you have a boyfriend and cuts you off, you be tight.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So yeah, like, have that conversation with both people.
Mm-hmm.
Really stick to your guns about what you want. If you want the sugar daddy and you're not sacrificing bending anyway, stick to that. Like, really know what you want out of this situation and what you're willing to sacrifice or compromise
mm-hmm.
on
mm-hmm.
So that when you head into these conversations, you know what you're willing to bend for and what you're not.
Yeah.
And then have these conversations.
Yeah.
And if it's a part of who you are and, like, what it's I'm just like, too. Do you really, I know he might be everything that you want in paper, but it's, you know, it's a real, it's a new relationship. And to me, it's like, if you tell him and he's just like, ugh, I hate you, and did it, like, do you really want to be with somebody who's thinking
kind of
about the situation
in
such, like, a horrible way? I mean, I don't know. For me, I guess because I'm on my bullshit where I'm just like, you gonna accept me the way I am or not?
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just, it's worth the risk to tell him, because you don't want to be juggling people and then one of them find out.
Exactly.
And
which
everything
is just
hits
hectic
the fucking
and stressful
trend.
For you. Yeah.
And just trying to, like, keep up with your, like, lying. And it's not worth it. It's never
that's
worth
whack.
It.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, you're not going to get bad advice here. We're going to tell you to do the right thing.
We can read this last one. It's not asking a question.
Dear host, first and foremost, Sam Squad.
Well, thank you. That's why Rebecca really is reading this one, because I just wanted to hear her say that.
God.
Sam Squad! Yeah! All right. bad energy, actually.
Poor choices aside, your latest episode was an absolute delight. I didn't know what to expect from the title, but I shouldn't have hesitated because you ladies never disappoint. So thank you.
Shout out to the three ladies here and the one agender person in Kuwait.
Thank you. Before listening to your podcast, I imagined open relationships were for older adults who lied about going to the theater just to attend a swinger party. I haven't been a hoe since high school and quite frankly never considered polyamorousness as a lifestyle, which is a nice way of saying that I was a cheater. Oh shit.
Ooh. Okay. Accountability. I'm here for
all right.
It.
Speak your truth. Talk that talk.
The devastation I put my main partner through was unbearable. Thus, I vowed to never disrespect his love or trust like that again. That's good. Fast forward 7 years to earlier this month. Yes, we worked through the infidelity. I came out to him as a polyamorous person. He is completely opposed to the idea, but if he ever decides to give it a try or we break up, you ladies would be the first to read the prologue of my whole chronicles. Now that I know this about myself, I can henceforth approach relationships with the opposite sex cautiously. Ironically, up until the end of 2017, I had been carrying on with various male associates. Hey. Signed a love fanatic. P.S. Once I return stateside, I will definitely be adding you hosts to my monthly entertainment budget.
Yay! We'd appreciate that. Thank you so much. Oh, is there a name?
No.
Thank you so much, Sam Squad.
Love Fanatic.
Love Fanatic.
I think I lost something here, though, because it's the 7 years of them together.
Mm-hmm.
And then the polyamorous, but I can henceforth, where was it? I have been carrying on with various male associates. So were they still cheating?
I think so.
Up until 2017, they were still cheating.
But I'm confused.
I don't quite get the timeline, yeah, but I mean, as long as you're not cheating anymore.
Yay for you discovering
No. 7 years later.
No.
Oh, I get it. No, 7 years later, she came out, or they came out as a polyamorous person.
But they've been cheating. But it said,
we worked through the
meaning
infidelity.
That the partner stayed. That didn't mean that
they're together.
That didn't mean that she stopped cheating.
Oh.
Or they stopped cheating. It meant that that partner continued to have the relationship with them. And up until
the
end
for
of
7 years.
And up until at least 7 years. And up until the end of 2017, they've been carrying on with other male partners. Okay.
And then it's if he ever decides to give it a try or we break up, there's no middle ground. It's like, you're either going to get with this or I'm leaving you.
I mean, and then they're already if you're planning their whole person, then get with it or go home.
But it seems like they've been cheating, and like now they're like, hey, by the way, I'm polyamorous.
Well, they probably got the terminology
for us.
Now.
Yeah.
And now
they said earlier this month.
This is what I've, this is.
I feel strangely guilty. No, I'm just kidding.
I know this.
I feel no guilt.
I just don't get the timeline anymore. Yeah. You fucked my brain up.
Yeah, because I mean, read it. Read it again.
I've been doing that.
I get it. I don't understand why you.
Yeah, I think I get it too. But I mean, okay. Yay for you discovering a new element of your sexuality. I hope you didn't mean that you were cheating on this person this entire time, because that's kind of sucks. That kind of sucks a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I guess if he doesn't want to do polyamory with you or be in a non-monogamous relationship, tell us about your whole chronicles, because
no, I'm here for it. Tell me about your whole chronicles. I'm not telling you to leave that nigga, but if it does happen, hold on.
Like, could you send a follow-up? You think, yeah, I mean, because it doesn't seem like you're like in this for a monogamous relationship.
I don't think he's the one for you. Yeah. Not that this was an advice asking for a letter, but now that it's finally connected in my brain, I think you should get out of this relationship.
Yeah. I was gonna say the same thing, but I didn't want it.
Because
was
it almost seems like you're just gonna do it anyway.
Not to give unwarranted advice, but to give unwarranted advice. You should probably
just do you at this point.
Yeah, in the beginning, not in the beginning of this, but like first listening to the podcast and hearing about the other co-host and their issue with their monogamous, partner and kind of navigating it, didn't seem like it sounded very stressful. It didn't seem like people were happy. It didn't seem like it was going to work.
They engaged now, though. Well, yeah, so
but are they still polyamorous, or have they just gone back to the monogamous way? So it's like, if this is the lifestyle you really want to live, and it seems like you need to, because then you're just cheating otherwise, then you might need to reconsider this relationship
and
your needs in it. And this, I don't know, this letter was sent a while ago.
Seems like it was after the
it was before
Ruby
this
episode.
I thought it was before the whole series as a whole.
Well, please give us an update.
Yeah, but no matter what part it is, you have the whole series now. Get your whole life and see if it helps, you know, you navigate things.
That's in the show.
Okay. All right. So if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do social media.
Social media. It's like a weird cereal.
Yeah. If you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inaho Uprising without the G on Twitter, Inaho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook. You can go to InahoUprising.com to pay a hoe or check out merchandise. You guys can follow me at Hey A Cool Girl on Twitter and Instagram.
Follow me, Rodeca or Rebecca, sometimes, at Rebby or Not on Twitter and Instagram, and No Need to Make Believe on Tumblr.
You can follow me at Slam Red on Instagram and Twitter and fuck Snapchat. We don't use that shit no more. Bye.
They've now lost $2 billion.
That's what you get, fucking Rihanna.